You are listening to the Makers Church podcast. For more information about our community, please visit makerschurch.org.
To do justice and to love mercy and to walk humbly with our God, that's what we've been trying to make sense of over these last several weeks as we've been in this series titled Injustice, Living in the Daily Work of Reconciliation. Many of you have been here for all 4 weeks and have been loving it. Many of you have been here for all 4 weeks and have been incredibly challenged by it. And many of you, this is your first time here today. And wherever you are in this journey, our hope is that this would not be a conversation that we had that one time in November of 2021, but one that we continually stay committed to as a community. Today is the last message of this series, but it's not the end of our work. In fact, it's this idea that it's a daily commitment and something that we are committed to collectively as a community, and hopefully that becomes true for us individually. Because we know that if we aren't individually committed to this, then, well, that means that we aren't collectively either. This is something that we care deeply about, and whether we're talking about it on Sunday or not, we hope that our heart for God would translate itself into our voices and our hands and our feet so that we can bring justice and reconciliation to the world. We say it in our name as a church, Makers Church. We exist to make on earth as it is in heaven. And this is what we mean. This is the most tangible example of what we can imagine when we think about heaven and earth. The way Jesus prayed for it, God, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so we've been in this conversation for several weeks, and for some of you, this is just the beginning. You've never really started on this journey, and you're about to. And if that's you this morning, if you're here in person or online, we did get online working again. We love you guys. If that's you and you're just like curious and you're about to get started on this journey, we just want to welcome you into that. Maybe you're here this morning and you've already made a decision. You're getting involved. You're getting started. And our hope is that this community would spur you on towards love and good works, that by being committed and connected in this family, that you would gain more intention and more courage to lean into this. Many of you have been in this work for a long, long time. And our hope and our prayer for you is that you'd feel less alone in this. That when you look around, that you would look to your left and to your right and you would say, oh, there's some more people walking and talking and doing alongside of me. But most importantly, I want to address those of you in the room that you maybe feel like we've been talking about. Because we've been talking in this conversation as we've gained and understood a framework for God's heart for justice, that God cares about the least of these, the oppressed, those who have been pushed into the margins, and those that have been othered. And I know for many people like me with privilege, it's easy to talk about how we can do our part to make a difference, but I don't want to overlook those of you that have been pushed into the margins, that have been oppressed, that have been hurt and wounded and overlooked. I understand that there are many of you that have experienced that in so many different ways, and you're dealing with different feelings around that. Sometimes you're angry, sometimes you're grieving, and sometimes you're hopeless. And if that's you, I just want to let you know that you're in the right place, that we love you, and that this is a safe place for you to experience all of those emotions, for you to be tired. We hope that we can help restore you. For you to be angry, we hope that we can help you discern a righteous anger. And for those that are ready to help create change, we hope that you look around and you feel supported. And I just want to take a moment and pray before we continue on. God, we know, Lord, that we've, as people, have done a pretty good job at hurting each other. And God, there are hurting people in this room and online and in our community. And God, we pray that that pain would not push them out of a community like this, but pull them in. That this would be a refuge and a safe place, a sanctuary, God, for hurting people to know that they're loved, to feel supported and fought for, to be a place of healing and renewal. God, we pray that you would give all of us eyes to see areas in our own lives where we have an opportunity to walk with someone, to mourn with those who mourn, to rejoice with those who rejoice. God, may we be a people committed to one another. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. If we've not met, my name's Derek, and I serve here as our lead pastor. And if you're new with us, welcome. We do often just go right there and jump into heavy conversations. And so if this is day one, week one for you, welcome to the family table. Like I said, we're ending this conversation today, but we're not ending our work. And I just want to give us a quick recap of where we've been, and I want to land today. The purpose of today is we hope that we've moved from our heads into our hearts, and now that we're going to move this into our hands and into our feet, that we will know that there's work to be done, and that we will find our work that we're called to do, and we would take up the tool, if you missed the metaphor a few weeks ago, take up the shovel and take your piece of dirt. So we started at the beginning of this talking about what is justice and why should we care about it in the first place, and we looked at the whole story arc of God and how God is the one who had the original idea for everything to be set right. He created it right. We broke it, and God is on a mission to fix it, and he wants to use us to do that, and justice is simply the righting of wrongs, making things whole. God gives this picture of shalom where there's peace and harmony and everything is connected. And then you go fast forward to the New Testament, you see Jesus living this and embodying this, and you look at the early church, and I want to just kind of recap this whole thing here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It says, therefore, if we love this passage, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. That's the good news, is that when you say yes to Jesus, when you step into life with him, that you become renewed, that you become justified, that you become righteous, not because of what you've done, but because of the work of Jesus. The old has gone and the new is here. All of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. I love that that's one sentence, no commas, no periods, no punctuation marks. That those two things go hand in hand, that God reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So going back to week one, if you want to know why do we care about this, why are we committed to this? Well, because this is why Jesus saved us. This is why Jesus reconciled us to himself. He gave us this ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. Man, that's a really hard thing for us not to do. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. Oh. We implore you. I just love the language. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled first to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. I just love the summary of this passage. It just helps us see that if we're going to be apprentices of Jesus, followers of Jesus, those who are trying to be shaped and changed and help participate in the work that God is doing in the world, then we too must become committed to reconciliation, God's highest form of justice. We talked about it in the first week, the difference between restorative and retributive justice. We love to talk about retributive justice. There is a time and place for that. But if we let ourselves, we'll drift into only that, and we will count people's sins against them. But God is more concerned with restorative justice, with reconciliation. God wants us to be reconciled to Him and to each other. God's greatest vision for justice is reconciliation. And He's invited us to participate in that. And so I hope that in these last couple weeks, if you've been with us, you know that with certainty that it's important to speak up, to become a voice to the voices. It's important to stand up, to march, to vote, to do all of those things that you can do. But none of that alone will bring justice if we end at just those things. Our activism must be rooted in love with a heart for reconciliation, which is always about people. It's people that are hurt by bad policy. And it's also people who are behind bad policy. It's people that are hurt by unjust systems. And it's also people who create and perpetuate unjust systems. And as Jesus followers, we must never forget, and this is the hardest thing for us to deal with. In fact, this might be the number one thing that upset many of you. As hard as it is for us to grasp, Jesus died and rose again, and He came to give grace and peace and hope and forgiveness, not only to the oppressed, but also to the oppressor. We hate that. It's the subversive, upside-down reality of the kingdom. And we have an issue with it. But this is the way of Jesus. And if we're going to be Jesus people, this is the kind of thing we have to gain a value for and believe in. Pastor Mark preached so beautifully last week about what it would mean to bring justice to the oppressor. And yes, it does mean a call to repentance and a call to return to faithfulness. But God doesn't give up on those of us who do stupid things. Isn't that good news? He loves us so much that He died for us too. And that there's hope for us as much as we've gotten it wrong. And so, Mark, thank you for that message last week. We've been using this framework that Jamar Tisby gives in his book, How to Fight Racism, and it's been this really, really helpful tool. We had a lot of tools that we thought we could teach all these things. We said, no, let's just stick to one. Let's reinforce one that we think is really helpful. And so we talked about the arc of racial justice, and this is blurry to make you think you need to go to the eye doctor. But this framework that Jamar created and put in his book, How to Fight Racism, is so helpful in doing that. But we think it's so good that it's helpful in any form of injustice. That it just spans beyond just racial inequity and injustice. It absolutely can be applied to that. But we want to bring it to all areas of injustice. And just a quick refresher, it's these three equally important pieces of awareness, relationships, and commitments. And that they're not necessarily linear, however they can be. They can be circular. You can go clockwise or counterclockwise. You could even skip one if you need to. But your pyramid will collapse. But these are three essential pieces for us to understand. And we're going to apply that today to help us put like tangible handles on this stuff that we're talking about. But for just a moment, We have to know that when we talk about injustice, many of us automatically go to racial injustice because it's just so evident and so prevalent and so important. But I don't want you to overlook all the other kinds of injustices that there are in this world that we as Jesus followers have a responsibility to care about. Hunger, homelessness, healthcare, the refugee crisis, the income gap, education, the criminal justice system. Yes, we know that many of these are interconnected and interwoven, but each one of these issues is important to the heart of God and should be important to us. But what I want you also to understand and know is that they all can't matter equally to each one of you. We will collapse under the pressure of that. And so the call to action for us as a community is to ask God himself, God, what would you have me care about? What issue, what type of injustice in the world or in this country or in this city or on my block or in my workplace or at my school place do you want me to care about? And hear from God on that matter. And then step into it. Remember when I painted the picture a few weeks ago of cutting fire line around a fire? You can only do so much with the tool in your hand. And so our call to action, our hope for you is that you know what the tool is, you know what your piece of ground is, and that you get to work at it. But trust that together, the community of Jesus, the people of God, the Big C Church, are going to be working towards all of these things corporately together. So I want to just talk quickly about awareness, because for you, you may have already asked that question. God, what would you have me care about? And if you haven't, that's where you start, is you just say, God, what would you have me care about? And then it's time to get aware. And so awareness is this really important step in the journey. I really wanted to share some personal stuff today that I probably won't this morning because of time, but I will do my best to put it out in a video this week to give a case study of, I want to talk about it, but we got more important things to do. But there's an area in my life that I know I need to become more aware in. And so I'm doing the work in that right now. And for you, you might not know where to start. We've created a page on our website. It's makerschurch.org. If you go to the menu, you'll find it. It's a justice and peacemaking page that has a lot of resources there. And you could, if you just go like, I don't even know God, maybe God would, your answer to the prayer would be go to the website and look around and find something that piques your curiosity and just get started. And I think it's important to address when we're in this awareness journey that it becomes glaringly evident that sin is not just housed in the heart. No matter what issue it is, we begin to see that sin isn't just in the heart, that it's baked into systems and structures and ideologies. And sinful individuals, which, by the way, is not them, it's us. We build sinful systems. And I don't know why this is so off-putting to many Christians. Many people want to reject that. But all you got to do is open the Bible. And you'll just see system after system after system of injustice and oppression. And we shouldn't be in denial about this. We should at least agree that there are unjust systems, that sin isn't just housed in the heart, but it gets baked into the things we make. But we want to believe, we want to believe that we just need to change people's hearts. You'll hear that. Like, they just need Jesus. But we don't need to just change people's hearts because it's already leaked into systems. And we don't, we just need to change the system. We can't just change the system because it's in people's hearts. And so it's more complex than we want it to be. We are all looking for just, what's the one thing? Just tell me the one thing. And what you'll find out when you go on this awareness journey is that it is complex. But we don't need to feel paralyzed by that. By acknowledging that there's sin in our hearts and there's sin in the systems, and that we can be part of the reconciling of others to God and to each other. And that's the invitation to awareness. So the quick, easy call to action is, if you don't know where to get started, go to that page on our website, and you could do what you do. I know you do with your Bible sometimes. You just flip the pages and point, And you could do that. You could just like hit the scroll and just stop. And maybe just pick something and get started. But the second thing is relationships. How do we lean into relationships on this? And I want to invite Pastor Rob up to come up and take us to school on how to do relationships well. So if you don't know, if you're new to Makers Church, Pastor Rob is a pillar. He's a part of a triangle that makes this church actually work. And I don't know of anyone other than maybe your wife, maybe a stiff competition of people, let's come in the middle, who are just great at relationships. And so, Pastor Rob, you were so kind to say that you would share with us. And so my first question for you is, why do relationships matter when trying to live in the daily work of reconciliation?
Because people matter. If you look to that person to the left of you, or that person to the right of you, or if you think about yourself, the Bible says you were made in the image of God, which means you were made special. In all the years of counseling, I've never met anybody that hasn't been trying to get over growing up, childhood. And somehow we have a caste system. And it's worldwide, and it has to do with who has value and who doesn't. And for me, everybody has value. And one of the big things I've heard people say is that I don't see color. And to me, that's insulting, because that means you don't see me. It means that I don't see you. It means that somehow we're this mush that we got together. America's a stew pot, and everybody likes stew knows that everything brings a different flavor, and God brought us together, for me.
Okay. Pastor Rob, how could help us? So let's say that we finally become aware that we are undervaluing a certain kind of person or a certain people group, and we decide that's not okay. And I want to change that. And I want to move into a relationship. How would you do that?
I think the problem comes when we take people on as projects. It's like we have these categories that people are in. There are black people. There are Chinese people. There are Asians. There are Mexicans. They're all people. Everybody that comes to you has a story and a history. And every one of us is a history maker. What we do and how we touch people says to what the future our children are going to have. And I think that the problem comes when we make causes rather than trying to meet people where they are and know who they are. One of the things I think is very funny is that when people were asking me about Black Lives Matter and do I care? I said, yeah, I care. I'm black. Why wouldn't I care? My life matters. My kids' life matters. And they said, but what about the political piece? I said, I don't know anything about the political piece. People have changed my classification. Ever since I was a little kid, nobody ever asked me what I wanted to be called. They just tell me. And now I'm African-American. I first came, I was a Negro. and at that time, there were only three races. They were Caucasoid, Negroid, and Mongoloid. And now there's millions. But each person in that category is a person. They hurt. They love. They want the best for their children. And we have systems that set people outside so that they cannot access what we all want. And when it comes down to it, what you want, I want. The Filipinos want it. The Japanese want it. And the funniest thing is I've traveled many places in the world, And everybody always wants to talk to me about racism in the United States. And everywhere I've gone, there's racism. And if it's not racism, it's tribalism. And I think, okay.
Last question for you, Pastor Rob.
Okay.
For those who would find themselves on the underside of privilege, of access, of resource, for those who have been oppressed in whatever class or category we might put them in, what role do they play as Jesus followers in bringing about justice in the world?
Well, I think this is not just for the oppressed, but this is for everybody. To not accept oppression for yourself. That's where it begins. You allow somebody to tell you you're not enough. You're too fat. You're too thin. You're too dark. You're too light. You're too this. You're too that. You don't have this. You don't have that. So what? We all came here naked, and we're going to leave here naked and alone. I mean, want yourself. That's where it starts at. Want yourself and know that you're enough. Know that God created you and that the Bible says that God's given us everything we need for godly living in the heavenlies, and all we have to do is pull it down. And I'll tell you one story now. Go, okay. I was stationed in Japan, and when I was in Japan, this was in 1967. We had these, bars. There was one bar for black people where there were no lights, and it was over, and it was called the jungle. For everybody else, there was like a 5 or 6 block square for everybody else could go in the bars. And this was set up by the United States military, our government. And people would tell me, you cannot go over there. And I would say, no, you cannot go over there. I can go wherever I want to go, because I can walk there. So I would go. And I had friends with the bartenders and the mama-sans. And so they were like my little family. And I think a lot of times we don't have, because we're afraid to do the hard thing.
Thank you so much, Pastor Rob. Can we thank Pastor Rob? I mean, this man, you embody what it means to love people really well. And I'm not trying to make you busier, but if you ask this man to be your friend, he'll be your friend. And I think the one takeaway that we can take when it comes to this is what do we have set before us? Who are the people around us that we have the opportunity to see as people, say yes to friendship with? And I think you've just modeled that so well for us. So thank you, Pastor Rob. We love you. You guys are in big trouble because the timer's not working. So we've talked about awareness. If you need to get aware, we want to help you get aware. If you know your next step or the right next step is to enter into relationships, maybe with somebody that you haven't made space for before in your life, there's no real silver bullet, slick way to do it. You just start. And that's the invitation for you. And then the last thing we want to end with is commitments. You know the cause that you're going to take up. You've become aware. You have some friends that can help really shape your heart around the cause. And now you're ready to take the next step. In order to help us understand how to do that well, I want to invite Dustin and Tara Vinoy up, who have been. We can clap them up as they come on up. So Dustin and Tara, as they're making their way up, they've been just incredible leaders in our community in the last several years who saw a real need to lean into this conversation and took it upon themselves to just start a group called Seeking Justice and put form to it and started gathering people. And so tell us a little bit about why'd you start the group? Like, what said, we got to do this? And then how'd you feel permission to do it? And, like, you just did it. So tell us just kind of the origin story of the group.
Sure. Thanks for having us come up and share. We're very humbled to be up here. We don't speak in front of people, so bear with me if I get a little shaky. And to answer the latter before the former, we just asked for forgiveness rather than permission and said, help us. And then to the former, I wanted to give a little context of kind of where this started, because this doesn't happen overnight. This doesn't happen in a month. It doesn't happen over a series. But for me, it started back in 2014. When we were watching the unrest happening in Ferguson, and my husband was born and raised in that area. And I remember being really unsettled and not understanding what was happening and felt shaken. And I looked over at him and he said, Tara, this is the way it's always been. And something really broke in me that day of just, how could I not have known this? I felt so ashamed. I felt angry. I felt a little betrayed. And went through a season of just trying to learn more and understand more. Soon after that, we found out we were having our first child. We were having a boy. And right about that time, Tamir Rice had been killed. He was a little boy. And I remember being so scared and just starting to hear more perspectives of different moms' experiences in our country. And it just really opened my eyes to a lot. I learned about all the 1,000 paper cuts I was receiving and decided to kind of step away from those environments. And then something really struck me last year when Ahmaud Arbery had been hunted down and killed. I'm a runner. I like to run. I've run all kinds of different places. And to think of somebody being killed in that way terrified me, and I didn't realize it then. I know now that after that, I went through a season of mourning for a man across the country who I had never met, and I couldn't explain it to anybody, and nobody really was listening. And so that led me to kind of think, we need to really do something. I don't want to just sit anymore. I want to do something.
So the thing about when you know something's always been this way, as you kind of think it's not going to change. Oh, I'm good. Thanks. So the thing with when we saw Ahmaud Arbery killed, we saw George Floyd killed, others around then, others kept rolling in. We were kind of, for me, that was sort of the trigger amidst the mourning of what do I do about this? Ferguson, I thought about flying to St. Louis, but anyway, I felt very powerless there. With this, I was like, okay, it keeps happening. It's going to keep happening. What do I do about it? And so as I started like listening, looking for what to do, the message I kept seeing was, white people created this system. It's up to you to fix it. And I didn't go, oh, for sure, that's true. Like, I wrestled with that idea. And I also kept seeing the first step is getting aware. And so while I'd read some books, I'd done some things, I really was like, we're going to dig into awareness on this issue of racism in America. And so that's kind of where we, trying to figure out how do we be active with this, the idea of starting a Seeking Justice group to really dive into awareness around this and also move that into action or commitment was kind of the idea from the start.
Awesome. So you've done that. You brought others along on the journey. You started the Seeking Justice group, and you've been getting aware. And in that awareness process, you've built many relationships. And now you've made some commitments. So tell us, like, what are they, and how did that come to be?
Sure. From that, we started to become a little bit more intentional. You mentioned this earlier, which was really great. The Bible Project has a wonderful podcast about justice. And one of the things they mentioned was that 9 times out of 10, when the Bible is referring to justice, they're talking about restorative justice, not retributive justice, righting these wrong relationships. And so we started to be more intentional about where did we see equity, where were we hearing things, where was God calling us. And we tried lots of things, and they were for a season or didn't work out. But one in particular stands out, which was last year during the pandemic. Hope for San Diego had their day of service, and we were like, where can we go with our kids outside? And Urban Life Farms had an opportunity for us to serve. It's a farm that helps give young people an opportunity to get work experience and help them with their resume, and it helps feed the community. So we went and did that. So the first thing is we showed up to this event. That's all we did. We showed up last year. And then come to this year, the people over at Hope for San Diego said, hey, how would you feel about leading the group? We're like, can we lead with our kids? Great, our kids can go too. Perfect. So we said yes. And then as we were standing there listening to Jose, who's the director for Urban Life, he started sharing with us about other opportunities that they do or other ministries that they do at Urban Life. And it was not coincidence, but I truly believe some divine direction in the things he shared about, which really aligned with our group.
Yeah, and expand on that just a little bit. So we have the group is small, and the people that are involved in it are doing things, right? So everyone's doing things. We're sort of getting to this point where we wanted to figure out, are there things we can do collectively? Can we team up a little bit more? And one of the things that really stood out amongst a few people was education. And we kind of came from different angles. I was kind of more from the career side. There was more the high school side. And we started talking about that transition to, if I want to go to college, if I want to pursue higher education, and I don't have family that knows the flow, I don't have someone that's available to help me, that's a big barrier that might just keep someone from making that leap that might completely change their life if it's what they're called to do. And so we're starting to think about, okay, can we start something new to help kids fill out the FAFSA, to help youth with essays, admissions, kind of just tell them you got this, right? Just someone to say you got this. And that's when we found out it already exists, which is what we were kind of hoping to find in the first place. But the fact that it was Urban Life just tied it all together for us.
So what does that look like? What does that look like in terms of your commitment now?
Yes. So from that information, we kind of jumped right in and said, this cannot be coincidence that our group was praying about this, and that education is such a great way to begin the process of that restorative justice piece of bringing equity to kids. These are kids, you know. We're stuck with what we kind of get with our families. And so what they have with Urban Life is a ministry called You Can. It's like a development program. And so what they do is they provide tutoring twice a week from 4 to 8 p.m. And they really need tutors. They have 60 to 70 kids on Tuesdays and then 60 to 70 kids again on Thursdays. That's 140 kids each week getting help so they can be proficient in math, physics, geometry, history, help with essay writing, different things like that. They need Spanish speakers. If you speak French, they have a lot of Haitian refugees that could really use some help. Definitely if you speak Spanish, you know anything about math, they could really use your help. And so ideally they're looking for like 2 to 3 people on either day to show up for a 2-hour block once a week. That would be super helpful and could really help these kids. We were just there tutoring this last week for the first time. And yes, if you are thinking, oh, I'm inadequate to help high schoolers with high school math, I understand. It was really hard. And it's really hard to tell somebody, I'm sorry, I can't help you. I don't know what's happening. But there were more kids that I felt like I could help than the student that I didn't feel I could help. And the gentleman that was there, who's a math teacher, he's like, it was so great having you here. I'm usually here by myself with 20 or 30 kids. So if that's laid upon your heart, like, that could be really helpful. Crawford High School is 3 miles away from here. Super close. The other thing is these kids need to be fed. These kids are hungry, and what a better way to show love than to feed these kids. And so I already know that we have a Connect group already lined up to make a meal for them in December for one of the dates. If you're in a Connect group, if you're in the moms group, if you're in the care team, I don't even know what all the groups are. This is not a one person goes and helps. This is a community effort. We'd really love to see our church provide meals to the kids. A lot of them are athletes. They need a really good hearty meal because they're not sure what they're getting at home. So we'll make sure to provide information for that, or you can come talk to me about signing up for that. The other thing is that in the future they will want help with FAFSA, helping with the language barrier of how to get kids into college. all that kind of stuff. I speak kind of personally on this, is that I don't have a four-year degree. My parents didn't go to college. And my sister's the first in our family to get a four-year degree. And it's hard. It's hard when nobody's in your family that has gone through that process to help you, even if you have all the capability in the world. And so it would mean a lot to do that. Lastly, there is a scholarship. So if right now time is not working out, but you can give financially, there's a wonderful scholarship that Urban Life provides. And it's a $1,000 scholarship. Last year, they were able to give it to 4 students. It'd be wonderful to increase that through our generosity. There is a criteria for this scholarship. 1, the student has to have made a commitment to follow Christ. 2, that they've shown some sort of leadership capacity. And then 3, that they will make a commitment to come back, bring restorative justice back in the community, and redistribute back into the community. So it's just this beautiful way to help others, like help the community, to help more. It's just, it's a beautiful, wonderful circle.
All right, I'm going to bring us home here, so hang with me. So I have learned that I cannot do this alone. And I believe you cannot do it alone, but I do believe we're called to do it. I think the most important thing for the American church right now is to really step into addressing systemic issues like education inequity, racial justice, the list goes on. Derek mentioned a lot of them already. So to be clear, what we're asking for is your time and your money. I know time and energy is tough, but if you can make it 2 hours a week to help, that would be incredible. If you speak Spanish and can do algebra, I could have used you Tuesday. I'm going back, 2 weeks? So I could use you then. If you don't speak Spanish, it's okay. I had enough to jump in there, and not sure if I should have, but I'm going to try it again if they need me. The other thing is the scholarship. It's really easy to give this scholarship if you've got money that you want to put towards this type of thing. Basically, you go to urbanlifesd.org. You can go to give once, and then in the list of what you're giving for, there's the Nancy Brush Scholarship, and that's what we're talking about here. So hoping we can like double how many scholarships they can give out, something like that. So the other thing I just kind of want to say is that I know people are doing things, and so if you're already volunteering, serving, if you feel like your time and energy is already being used up with things, I just encourage you to be intentional that what you're doing is contributing towards trying to treat some of these systemic injustice issues, not just the symptoms, but looking at is this going to be treating some of these things over the long term, not just filling a need that people are going to have to keep coming back and getting filled, which is important, but that's not all of it, right? So we've seen the global church really step in when government and others can't help, and I think we can see the American church do that too, and I think Makers is in a good position to do that, so we're asking you to join us.
Awesome. So if you guys, let's thank them. If you want to get connected, let me teach you a little life hack. You can pull your phone out right now and take a picture of their email and email them later if you would like to do that. Or if you get lost or you think about it later, you can just email us at info@makerschurch.org and we'll connect you.
And we got a website now as of yesterday. So seekingjusticesd.com. You can go there, sign up for the newsletter, or reach out to us if you don't like what we said and want to talk about it. Or if you want to join us and go do something.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much for sharing. Love you guys. So if it's not clear, we're trying to get incredibly practical. A couple weeks ago, we heard from Doug, who shared about an opportunity to do a very similar thing at Hoover High School, tutoring kids. And if that really interests you, you can always get with Doug and get connected there. If you prefer Crawford, the need is great. Crawford's a few miles down the road, and you want to serve in that way with Urban Life, and you want to tutor in that regard, you can connect with the Vinoys. Lauren was up here earlier. She's our impact director. She gave you 2 opportunities to step in for this season, in the Christmas season, to get connected. I want to tie these 2 things together for you. Our impact ministries are our justice ministries. Where there is a need in the world, and when we step into those needs, we are doing justice. We're loving mercy. We're walking humbly with our God. We're trying to just serve up these easy things to say yes to for you. If none of those float your boat, we have incredible impact partners that are doing absolute God kingdom work in the community and in the world. in the areas of homelessness, refugees and immigrants, foster and adoption, human trafficking, recovery and addiction, education, job creation, community health, and creation care. All of those things that sound like a lot of things. We have a partner that is committed to this day in and day out that we can connect you to. And so if any of those interest you and you go, I know I need to step into one of those things, our impact group is the place for you to go get connected to that. If you're lost on any of this and you want to raise your hand and say yes to it, one, you can just come find us after the gathering. You know what Lauren looks like. You know what the Vinoys look like. You know what I look like. You know what Doug looks like. Doug, wave your hand over here. Or if you're ever lost, you're ever confused, just email info@makerschurch.org and say, that thing you said, I think I'm ready. And we'll connect you. We'll connect you with that. Let's end with this. The basic premise of this whole series is us just desperately trying to live out the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. That's what our church is postured to do. It's our mission as a church, to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves, to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey the things that he has commanded us to do. This is all directly connected to our mission as a church. And I just believe that if we would just try to love our neighbors well, oh, we're going to move right into this. We're going to be pulled into this. We're going to be so compelled by this. And so that's the invitation through this series. We can't single-handedly take on the fight and do everything, but we can put our hands to work and do something. So let's pray. God, we pray that we would be unsatisfied with a sermon, that we would be discontent with discourse, and that we would be compelled to act, to do something. God, I would love for the best work in our city to be done by people who love you and represent you as your ambassadors. God, you have given us the ministry of reconciliation, and you have invited us to be your ambassadors in the world. And so, God, I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come, that you would empower us, that you would incite a fire inside of us, God, that moves us out of ourselves to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with you. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
You are listening to the Makers Church podcast. For more information about our community, please visit makerschurch.org.